Introducing Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB, AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Good morning, Jim. Here we are, Friday morning in Vancouver, and it's out my window. It's a little misty. You can see the mist coming in off the ocean and through the big evergreen trees. How about out your way?
In New Westminster, overlooking the Fraser River, it's foggy.
And it's kind of foggy in the marketplace, too.
Yeah, and I'd like to dispel a myth about it just does nothing but rain in Vancouver. We've had the driest summer ever.
I think so.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at the numbers, but I know it's been unusually dry.
Well, Christy Gordon on the TV, good friend there, meteorologist, and she said, you know, she's looking at the numbers for September, virtually no rain at all.
Yep.
For Vancouver and the general area. But because it hasn't been overly hot for most of this year, things aren't as dried out as they might be.
Yeah, no, I haven't had to put the fan on in my office at all this summer. It's been livable.
Whereas I'm further down the valley and it gets warm down here.
Yeah.
And my air conditioner does get a workout. Anyway, enough of the weather forecast. Let's
look at the questions.
Let's take a look at our listener questions. We have quite a few today. Our first question comes from Malcolm. Hey, Bob. All the mainstream media says inflation is peaking, but I've seen the price of some items go from $2.99 to $4.20, and just this week to $6.77 in just 18 months. That really makes things totally unaffordable. So I'm wondering, what are you predicting on the inflation front in Canada?
Yep, it's the worst, as they say, in 40 years, and it's all policymakers' fault. They went into a panic about COVID and shut down what they call the lockdown. At the same time, the central bankers decided, oh, they had to inflate the money supply, and so then, bang, you end up with a business boom that is the concluding part of a great financial mania that started about a decade ago. So but the dominant thing in there is the speculation in financial assets. And whether it was 1929 or 1873, whenever a great financial bubble completed, most asset prices deflated, and this is what I'm looking for. Now, I heard in the radio this morning that gasoline prices in Vancouver are up to the highest in North America, and that's the way it is. But I think if you take a look at the main commodity index, the CRB, it became exceptionally overbought early in the year, took a hit, and then it's now starting to break down. So the way the commodities go, it'll eventually pull down what we call consumer price inflation. So, and this is natural to the post-bubble condition. And the other part that is natural, and maybe the dollar's correcting here now, the U.S. dollar index, correct for a while, but it is in a mode where it can stay chronically firm relative to most other currencies and most commodities. So I'm convinced we're in a post-bubble contraction, and the rate of inflation, consumer price inflation, will come down. Now, there were some other parts here.
Well, it's basically he's just complaining that the government adding taxes being against farmers.
Okay,
and
we got
and so
it
on.
Covered then.
Yeah, we do have it covered. And for people wondering about gasoline prices in Vancouver, the highest in North America, $2.67 a liter. That translates to $10.68 a gallon for a Canadian gallon or $10.14 for a U.S. gallon of gasoline.
Yeah.
There's the true price here. And somehow it's because all the refineries on the West Coast decided to do their maintenance at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, of course, to me, I feel that's a very artificial constriction, but, hey, that's just my gut feeling. I think we're just being gouged. How much will these West Coasters pay for gas? Let's find out.
Well, I know that many citizens have to keep driving. Unfortunately, I don't drive much anywhere, but if one has to drive, you've got to face that, tank with all the government taxes every fill up. It's bound to be very painful.
Yeah, if you're a soccer family out in the burbs and the kids are in ballet and karate and hockey, how do you afford to take them? I know my parents, when I played hockey, drove me hundreds of miles to play games.
Yeah, well, the problem when you're in one of these consumer price inflation things is that the cost of things always goes up faster than the typical wage, and it's always a grind. But, as I said, it's close to breaking. Now, we got another question?
Yes, our question is from Chris. Hello, Jim and Bob. Jim, please ask Bob to consider commenting on his metallic credit spread this week. It seems to be stubbornly low in light of the sell-off over the last 8 to 10 trading days. I hate to see the markets when the your gold-silver ratio hits your 120 target. Lastly, does U.S. dollar need a rest, technically speaking? Thank you, Chris in Rhode Island.
Rhode Island. Hey, that's a whole continental landmass from our Vancouver Island. Hey, anyways, yeah, good question. The metallic credit spread, the gold-silver ratio, it was doing the right thing in going up when the markets were being hammered, and now it's paused. I think the markets want to stabilize for a little while, maybe a week or so, and then the decline could continue, and then that is where at some point that gold-silver ratio could get out to 120. Just one of those loose targets out there. And then the final part of the question, does the dollar need a rest, technically speaking? Yes, I think it's begun already. It did what it should do during forced liquidation. It went up, and that's typical of the post-bubble condition. Let me get to another question.
Yes, our next question comes from Michael. Yep. Hi, Jim and Bob. Bob, I have some questions on the U.S. 10-year Treasury rate, which very briefly hit 4% this week. Can it go much higher this year before a snapback?
Yeah. Well, okay. Let's look at that one now. Yeah, it became, a week and a half ago, the 2-year note in the Treasury market became exceptionally overdone in rising. And then, this week we got the exceptionally overdone on the longer maturity. So, we're looking for a break in here, and, it'd be a brief decline in the long rate and, a rally for, long Treasuries. I think that junk bonds are just too dangerous to try and trade. But we did call a week ago for a trader's buy in the long bond. So it was a bit early, but I think it'll work out. And there were other parts to the question?
Yes, second part. Also, can we expect the rate to fall significantly once the upcoming recession gets underway, or are the days of low interest rates over?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I think the recession in the U.S. is underway, and again, it's going to be a severe one because we have been in a great financial bubble. And there's various aspects of the interest rate market. So we can see the shorter rates, U.S. rates, the T-bills, 3-month, 6-month bills, eventually heading down to zero. As of this week, the 3-month bill is still up. But somewhere soon it can roll over and head down. And then a month or so later, the Federal Reserve will follow with its administered rate. And that rate can go zero. But in the meantime, because of the recession and the inability to serve it for many corporations to service debt, our lower grade bonds will get punished in the market, and some of them will default, unfortunately. And then you also face the problem where investment grade corporate bonds can get downgraded because they're having trouble servicing their debt. So you have that problem where a number of investment grade bonds can become junk, and then junk becomes failure. So, hey, the T-bill rate down, junk rates up. So the market split. Then also, what was the other part of the question?
The third part of the question.
Gold rises.
Yes, the third part of the question.
Yeah.
Could we be entering a period where gold rises along a rising U.S. dollar with both, quote, currencies, unquote, acting as safe havens?
Yeah, that's one of the things that write often is that in a post-bubble contraction, the very careful money goes to the most liquid items, which is, less than one-year treasuries, U.S. treasuries, which means there's a bid for the low, for the shorter maturities, and there's also that implies a bid for the dollar. And then you also got the liquidity that gold provides, so then you have a bid for gold. So I don't see any huge price changes in gold in U.S. dollar terms. But where one wants to look at gold is in the deflated price, because there's been long periods of time in financial history when the senior currency was convertible into gold. It was a fixed price, but the real price went up and down depending where you were in the bubble and all that sort of stuff. But out of this, perhaps within a month or so, the gold in real terms deflated. We also do it relative to the commodities using the CRB, and this will turn up, and it implies improving profit margins for the gold sector, and that's important. So one of the features of a great financial contraction is a very good and multi-year bull market for the gold sector.
Our next question comes from Henry Solomon in El Paso. He doesn't have to say Texas because I don't know of any other El Pasos.
Yeah.
Also, El Paso, great song by Marty Robbins.
Indeed.
Henry's question, has the time arrived for investors to start buying gold mining stocks such as the GDX and GDXJ?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, yesterday's piece did say that investors and traders could begin to accumulate gold stocks. And depending on the kind of portfolio you got, can range from big ones to little ones to, you know, micro cap gold stocks. The senior golds and the middle and size golds will move likely first, and then the action in juniors could be delayed for a bit. But the main thing is, I think it is time to begin accumulating. Maybe a 25% of a weighting that you would eventually want to have. That would be fine.
We'll have more with Bob Hoy right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
You there?
Yeah, I just converted your PDF to a thing I can manipulate here in an email. Because that way I can mark which questions I've asked. You can't manipulate a PDF.
Yeah.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Some headlines that caught Bob's attention today. The first headline, recession clouds gather in Germany, Europe's largest economy.
Oh, yeah. That with all of the political violence going on, particularly in Ukraine, and then, sanctions and all that sort of stuff, plus you've got the early stages of a post-bubble contraction. Yeah, Germany, as they say, is into the recession. Yeah.
Headline, Wall Street strategists hunt for good omens on U.S. stock slide. Well, any good news hidden in all that smoke and dust and screaming and crying?
The whole industry out there wants to be bullish, and it makes most of its money when it's bullish. And it also becomes very defensive on a setback. So this is a classic example, but they're looking for good omens. Now, in January, there is a technical tool we call the Hindenburg Ullmann. And, of course, the Hindenburg being the hydrogen-filled German Zeppelin that in 1937 in New Jersey was trying to get moored, and the thing blew up very dramatically. So this is, and the Hindenburg Ullmann has to do with upside 52-week highs, 52-week lows in certain percentages, and it's a, you get it this way. You can have a Hindenburg on market violence, but it may not be followed by a bear market. But every severe hit to the financial markets has been preceded by a Hindenburg. So we had Hindenburgs in December, January, and that was included in part of our research. So, but this is where I like the contrast where the strategists now are looking for good omens. Hell, they should have been looking for the bad omens in January.
Bob, they just have to listen to you. I don't know. And whenever they say looking for omens, I just think of the ancient Romans, you know, taking a look at chicken guts and trying to predict the future.
Oh, yeah. The Oracle at Delphi in Greece. So,
Headline, China reins in its Belt and Road program after spending $1 trillion on it.
Yeah, that was central planners right out of control. They were building empty cities with roads going from empty city to empty city. And it reminds of following the 1873 bubble where there was tremendous speculation in railroads, so everybody had to have a railroad. And then when it crashed, the very wealthy Vanderbilt observed that it was foolish to be building railroads from nowhere to nowhere. And this is what the central planners in China have been doing, building empty cities with roads going from empty city to empty city. It's been utter madness.
House sales collapse as UK lenders withdraw mortgage offers.
Yep. The lenders are starting to look to their own balance sheets, and that is a natural. Yep.
And behind the Bank of England's panic, billions in margin calls, death spiraling into a complete bond market collapse, pension fund wipeout. However, Liz Truss says, I don't care. Yeah. I'm going to carry on with whatever, with all these massive tax cuts for the very rich.
Yeah, the main thing on this one is that it was one of the most breathtaking crashes in bond prices in ages, if seriously, seriously. And you had, as the headline said, billions in margin calls. So, yeah, it was a mighty whack to high-grade bonds in, in England and definitely Canada and the United States, something to behold. And it was prompted by the fear of inflation, but there's a more subtle way of looking at it, is that the really big inflation over the last 5-6 years has been in financial asset prices, like bonds to the moon. And you even had in Germany their 10-year note getting to minus nominal yield, which has never happened in hundreds of years of bond history. So the huge inflation has been in bond prices, and now the bond prices are deflating. So, but as I said earlier, there could be a quick trade in here, but we wouldn't, just strictly for nimble traders. And, when you get a headline like that, you just got to bring it forward and review it, which we have done. So,
China's offshore currency hits record low against U.S. dollar.
Yeah.
The yuan.
Yeah, there you are. The U.S. dollar has been strong. And I think, Jim, ages ago when I did all the research, and one of the features of a post-bubble contraction has been the senior currency increasing in relative to commodities and other currencies, which is what we sort of stepping along to. And I think that it hinges upon that during the bubble mania, and mind you, stock market gets the headlines, but until recently the bond market doesn't. But you've got a huge number of new issue bonds floated, and mainly done in the financial center, which is New York, and mainly due and payable in U.S. dollars. And this then is the problem, is all the debt written out there that's due and payable in U.S. dollars then becomes, when it flips, effectively a short position in U.S. dollars. The guys with the debt have got to get their hands on dollars to meet their obligations in New York. So it's a satisfactory explanation for me for the tendency for the senior currency to become chronically firm in a post-bubble contraction.
Bob, thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, Jim. Hey, the mists are lifting out here. Hallelujah.
The sun is trying to get through.
Yep. Okay, Jim. Look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy, the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He was speaking to us from Vancouver. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.